الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God whom no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the final messenger of God and the seal of all the prophets. So I greet the believing audience with the greetings of peace that we all hope to receive on the day of judgment, the day that we stand before our Lord. The greetings, which means may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. Today I have a guest for the first time on the show. He is Imam Ahmed Fawzi. He is the Imam or religious leader of the mosque or masjid on Gunbell Road. He's here today, and we're going to discuss the topic, faith and mental health, a forgotten connection. But first, I'm going to give a few announcements that we have. I want to remind everyone of our classes. They have resumed now. We have a Aqidah class, the Creed of the Religion, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. This class is conducted by Khaled Harrington. Many of you have heard him before. Also, we have a Quran class on Wednesdays, which is conducted by myself every Wednesday from 7 p.m. until around 8:15. Everyone is welcome. We have also Zoom. If you text me, I can send you the link, the Zoom link, so you can write in your home, sit and listen, and you can ask questions in this Quran class. It's an open class. The class is primarily an English class, so everybody there is speaking English, and we're discussing in English, and we're discussing the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, explaining the Quran in this way. Also, I want to give you our website. It's uidf.org, uidf.org. You can go on there and read some of the articles we have, look at our videos. We're also on YouTube every Friday from our Jumu'ah services at 2 p.m. Everyone is welcome also to our Jumu'ah services. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will have a discussion here with Imam Ahmed Fawzi.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to welcome everyone back to our show today. We have our guests here. We have Imam Ahmed Fawzi. I'd like to give him the Islamic greeting of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Imam Hamad.
How are you? Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you
so
much.
Good to have you here. I've been wanting to ask you for a while, but I know you're a busy man traveling all the time.
Alhamdulillah for everything.
Okay. So why don't we start off a beautiful topic today, beautiful topic. And why don't you start off just letting the audience know a little bit about yourself?
Okay, yeah. So I'm Ahmed Fawzi, as a lot of people know about me here on the Imam of Islamic Society of Greater Chattanooga and Gun Barrel. And I used to be the manager of the U.S. Council of Imams, North American Imams Federation. And now I'm the director of American Muslim Impact Network. I graduated at Al-Azhar, which is a very prestigious Islamic university in Egypt. And I used to teach as well.
Okay, and you're from Egypt?
I am from Egypt. I was born and raised and educated in Egypt. Then my father wanted to punish me, so he sent me here.
Sent you to America, huh? I hadn't heard that one before. Why don't you tell everyone what imam means?
Imam is... The word imam is in Arabic means spiritual leader. So it's not about leading the salah only or the prayers. Rather, it's more of leading the community and working on the development of the community, working with the community to head forward to what is best for all, to lead them and working with Muslims and non-Muslims alike.
Right, right. So it has many moving parts to
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So as Imam, do people usually come to you with just purely religious questions, or you notice that they have a deeper meaning to the question they're coming with?
Let me start with this. First of all, thank you so much for bringing me to this show. We would love, as it's 10 a.m. now, would love to say good morning to Chattanooga and all of those people who listen to us. It's truly an honor to be with you today. And at the beginning, I would love to pray that for all who listen to us, may God have your homes filled with love, peace, your hearts with comfort, and your lives with meaning and purpose. And to everyone listening, whatever and whatever you're doing now, I pray that you are granted strength in your struggle, clarity in your confusion, and light in your darkest moments. Clearly, brother, we live in a world that moves fast.
Right.
Sometimes too fast.
Right.
A world where many people are smiling on the outside but silently struggling within.
Okay.
So this morning, before we talk about anything else, I just wanted to say you are not alone. And this is the message of today. And there is always hope. A hope that God has sent to us through faith is.
Right.
In my experiencing, to answer your question, many people actually come thinking that they have religious questions, but as we talk, it becomes clear that the real issue is not theological, it's emotional or psychological.
Okay.
Over the years, working closely with the community, I've noticed a pattern where people ask about faith, doubt, or religious rulings. But behind those questions, there is often anxiety, grief, trauma, and loneliness. And this connects directly to what I called here the forgotten connection.
Okay.
Between faith and mental health. We have become used to separating the two as if faith belongs in one box and emotional struggles in another. But in reality, they are deeply connected, and according even to studies on suicide, mental health, and even religious behavior, all point to that link. So sometimes the real rule isn't just to answer the question, it's to reconnect the person with the missing link between their faith and their inner well-being.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Why do you think this topic is so relevant in the United States today?
Because we are seeing actually real paradox. In the United States, people have more comfort, convenience, and opportunity than ever before. Yet, the data tells us different story. Like, for example, according to CDC, about 1 in 5 adults have been diagnosed with depression at some point in their lives. According to CDC, too, around 12% of adults regularly experience an anxiety that roughly 1 in 8 people. And in recent surveys, nearly 1 in 5 adults report symptoms of an anxiety and depression within just a 2-week period. Even more striking, loneliness in becoming a public health concern, with millions of Americans reporting they feel lonely on regular basis. Not to mention, a lot of people don't report anything. So what does that tell us here? It tells us that external success does not guarantee internal peace. There is missing layer here, and that layer is spiritual grounding. People are starting to ask a deeper question again and again about purpose, identity, and meaning. And that is why the conversation matters now more than ever.
Okay. So in America, where you have a lot of proclaimed religious entities and so forth.
Yeah.
So do you think there's some type of spiritual emptiness in the people in this country, even though you see many religious establishments pretty much grounded in America?
Seeing that a person who travels to a lot of countries, I've been almost to all continents, and
you just got back from Russia, didn't
yeah
you?
I did actually. I was in Russia, and we may talk about this too, because a lot of misunderstanding in, like, just of this nation and the people of Russia in there. And actually, when I met with them there, they had the same misconcept or misunderstanding of the American people. And yes, many, short answer is yes, many people do. And a big part of this is cultural, and a big part of it that media and lifestyle pushes people to be separated from religion and have kind of a emptiness in them, and separate religion from themselves, which actually leads to mental health problems. Many people do. A big part of it is cultural. In modern society, faith has often been pushed into the private space, something personal, even hidden. While mental health is treated as purely clinical and something for therapy rooms and medication. So naturally, the two worlds start to feel separate. And here we're speaking about majority of people I myself meet and deal with. But there is another layer too. Some people have had painful or negative experience with religion, and we see that a lot. Maybe judgment, misunderstanding, or feeling unheard, and as a result, they don't just step away from those experiences; they step away from faith entirely.
Oh, okay.
And this is not about religion; it's about the experiences they go, and sometimes with the experience they face with their community itself.
Right.
I've seen someone who was just seeking a religion because of going to churches. I'm not speaking about a specific faith here, and felt pushed away. I've seen people got traumatized from the way people treat them. I've seen people thought of suicide, and that encouraged me to go and take some training on how to deal with suicide and mental health problems in that matter, because of feeling lonely and not included.
Right.
And that's what our faith, Islam, is always encouraging us to do, to include people, to welcome them, to make them feel always they are part of the community. Even we have a concept in Islam, it's called the al-mu'allafati qulubuhum in the Quran. And the word al-mu'allafati qulubuhum, it's the softed heart. And that is for the people newly came to Islam,
right,
because they feel always they are different, or they are not from the community yet. And for that, Islam taught us to deal with them especially and differently a little bit.
Okay. So do you find people who, everybody's going to experience some type of anxiety or depression at some level in their life?
Yeah.
So do you think that people who have a connection with faith are able to more overcome that type of anxiety and depression, be able to handle it better than a person who is not consistent in faith or doesn't really relate to any faith at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a beautiful question because, and let me answer Islamically here, which is going to be different for a lot of people hearing us today. I've been asked this question, I think, like 4 or 5 years ago when this tragic earthquake happened in Turkey. And a lot of people died. Mm. And during that time, some people asked this question clearly, like people go through depression, going through increasing and increasing, you know, like just subhanAllah, the amount of mental health problems nowadays. So what happens? Many people, when let us clear this first. When a person go through an anxiety, loss, and emotional struggle, Islam does not tell them ignore your pain.
Mm.
Never. It acknowledges the pain fully, but reframes it. This is part of a larger journey with meaning, not chaos without purpose. And we have a concept in Islam. It's called ibtila. The word ibtila is kind of a testing. And God in the Quran says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي كَبَدْ. A person will live always in obstacles, he will live in challenges, and you gotta understand that.
Right.
When we get this concept, we will understand the concept of life, and we will deal with it easily. A lot of people nowadays, they suffer from something called GAD, generalized anxiety disorder, because they are afraid of everything, and they are afraid to fail, they are afraid to lose people. But in Islam, it says to you, you will.
Right.
You will suffer, you will lose people, and this is life. Oh. So you gotta deal with it, you gotta cope with it.
Right.
And the concept of that, because also this question comes to me always, you know, like just why? Why, if God loves us, why he let and allow these pain to go through, make us suffer. And I always give this kind of an analogy says that imagine you wake up in the morning, beautiful life, servants come to you with food, drinks, someone is driving you with a luxury car, and that happens daily. Every day you go through the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, you're going to end up at the mental health, in a mental health problem, and you're going to a mental, like hospital.
Right.
Because this is how we were created. We were created in a way that we need to change. We need things to happen. These kind of, for example, struggles happen between a husband and wife. Without it, they will not love one another more and more.
Right.
You know, like when you have a little dispute between you and your wife, when you have this kind of a lovely fight, I call it, Okay, so at the end of the day, you will realize that she loves you more, and you will realize that he loves you, and he's kind of jealous about you, and he's kind of, you know, like he wanted the best for you, or he is a different person, and you are different, and we need to live together. Nowadays, a lot of unspecial people meddle in the situation and tell you if you're different, you cannot live together. Actually, this is wrong. If you're the same, you might not be able to live together.
Right.
But if you're different, it's a better chance for you to live together in a better way. And this is why we need to understand that an anxiety and problems are a bless from God.
Right. So basically what you're saying, acknowledging that the test is coming.
It is.
And that this life is a struggle.
It is.
It's going to help you get through those storms easier.
Yes. Without a you know, like, for example, when you drive within Chattanooga here and you face some of these nice speed bumps, without it, you will not understand if there is anything wrong with your car. Right. When you go through these kind of pumps and you hear the you know, like just the
jingle,
that, yeah, the jingles, yeah, or these kind of like weird sounds under undercarriage, so you'll understand you have a problem out there.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same with our lives. If you didn't go through some struggles, if you didn't go to the hospital, if you didn't get some cold, if you didn't get some allergies, you will not understand it. Of a story of a friend who once met with me in Mecca when I went to Umrah, and Umrah for a lot of people it's like kind of minor pilgrimage in Mecca, and he insists to meet with me. And when I go to Umrah, Sheikh, I don't meet with anyone.
You don't?
Yeah. I don't like to bother myself. You're like just meeting with anyone. This is my time between me and God, and this is needed for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he insists that I need to meet with you to tell you my story. And I was like, okay, come in. And he said, I proposed to this beautiful young lady. And for the good luck, by the way, this young sister, she was a friend of my sister.
Okay, so you knew her.
I knew her.
Okay.
I know how beautiful she is. I know her family, how good they are, and I know how faithful she is.
Right.
And he said, I went and I proposed, and here we're speaking about cultural way of marriage.
Right.
Where people, they go and propose to the father, and the father, he presented them, even they know each other, but they have to go through the same process.
Right.
Like proposal here, you know, like just you go to the girl directly. No, there you go to the family first.
Right.
And then he said, we did the engagement the second day. He found her father coming with the dowry and all the gifts and saying, we're sorry. This guy, he lived in a struggle for about 3 weeks.
So they rescinded his proposal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And they voided it.
Okay.
So he said, I lived in a struggle for 3 weeks. Until a friend of him, he told him, I'm going to a wedding. Would you come with me? And he's like, no. And he felt like this is my rule as a brother for him or as a friend to take him out of this. So he took him, and there he met with another one.
Another girl.
Another girl. And he saw her. And he says, Sheikh Ahmed, I think I knew the purpose or the reason why I was proposed to the first one, and it broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why? He said, the second one is way more beautiful than the first one. The second one is more faithful to God. The second one is more loving and better in every aspect that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, brother, what did you learn from this? He said, sometimes God gives us good things and take it from us to to understand and to be ready for a better one. Not everything happens in our life is to break us, rather to strengthening us, rather to prepare us for a better route or route. God always changing our paths according to what he find the better for us. And here I remember one of the sayings of one of our scholars back in the days. He said, if I ask it God for something and he gave it to me, I'll be happy. But if I ask it something from God and he didn't give it to me, I will be happier.
Happier.
So his students surprised like everyone listening to us now, and they said, how come? And he said, because if you trust God, and this is only for the people they trust God, he said, because the first one was my choice, and the second one is the choice of God. And always the choice of God is better than my choice for those they believe that God loves them and he is by their side.
Right. That's a lot of wisdom in that.
It is.
That God may be keeping something from him that he didn't need.
Yep. Not everything you like is the best for you.
Right.
And not everything you dislike is worst.
Right.
Even that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. You might hate something and God put in it a lot of goodness. And on the same time, God said, and you might love something and it's not good for you.
Right. That's a lesson.
It is.
So seeing people like in Gaza, for instance, who's going through a lot of horrific trials and testing. But you still see those people praying. You see those people, you have reporters and stuff that have gone there.
Yeah.
And the Gazian people who don't have really anything, invite them into their homes to give them a little tea or whatever that they have. So these people are under tremendous type of tests.
Yes.
But you see them praising God. They don't give up their prayers. You still see joy on their faces, even though they're going through this type of calamities in their life. What does this do from it?
In short, the answer, it's from faith.
Having faith.
Yes, they have faith. That kind of strength is deeply spiritual. When everyone around you is unstable, faith becomes the only stable ground. Prayer, for example, isn't just ritual. It's a moment of connection, surrender, and grounding. People hold on to it because it reminds them, even if the world is chaotic, there is a still order, still justice, still a higher power in control that believes it gives incredible resilience. They believe that this is all meant for something.
Right.
Whatever they are going through, if God doesn't like it for them, he wouldn't let it happen. But he knows it's for their best. And you may ask a question in regard to the people of Gaza or any people who are suffering or even killed.
Right.
What is worse than being killed?
Right.
And losing your life. And I would answer to this saying this question for a person who forgets or does not believe in the day after. We believe as Muslims that we live very, very short time in this life. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet peace be upon him, he said that we live in this life, or the age of our ummah, the age of our nation here in this life is between 60 to 70, 80 years, right?
Right.
You live 60, 70, 90 years, and then you live forever. in the day after the day judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the concept of those people. They believe in the day after. They believe in the life after death. Let me give you this example. We are in the G93 studio now, and you know, I wanted to gift you a nice car.
Right.
So Imam Hamid, now you know, just should I bring the car in, or I'll tell you come outside? Come outside in the parking lot, in the big, you know, just park out there, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna give you the big gift.
Right.
And this is how God, or this is how we believe about those people being killed, and we call them martyrs.
Right.
Or shuhada. Shuhada or martyrs actually in Arabic means witness. They witnessed immediately at the moment of death, they witnessed the love and the reward of God to their struggle in life.
Right.
They are rewarded immediately right when they die and lose their lives. They are transferred or teleported from this life immediately to what we call Jannah or paradise.
Right.
So when you think this way, I think you would feel better about them. But on the same time, that does not make us forget that there are tyrants in this life and we need to stand firm against them. Because a Muslim or a human being in general has to stand for what is right and stand on the same time against what is wrong.
Right, right. So we see that throughout many places of the world. How
yeah.
people are living in poverty, going through certain type of oppressions and lives being lost. And we know in the Quran that God says that he will test us
mm-hmm.
with fear and hunger and loss of lives and different things like that.
Yeah.
So how in Islam do a person, or what does it mean in Islam to be able to obtain that inner type of peace? What's some of the steps to get there?
Yeah. When we talk about this, we have to deal with what we call prayers.
Prayers.
Prayers is one mean or one way. Look, before we talk about this, we gotta understand that we are the creation of God. And when we say that we are the creation of God, that, and I want you to think of the Mercedes car here, okay? When you go to, you know, just the Mercedes dealer, once he gives you the car, he
says, Mercedes.
The Mercedes,
yeah.
yeah. And or any other car.
Yeah.
Let's go with something American, with Ford. Okay. So, you know, when you go to, for example, Ford car, and you ask them for a car, they tell you that they have a warranty on the car.
Right.
If you followed the manual of the car.
Right.
And with that manual, you will find a lot of maybe rules you don't like. You hit the brakes this way. You shouldn't, you know, just put the gear this way. You should maintain putting the water and oil at these kilometers or miles, and so on. So when it comes to our lives, it's the same. God has created us. He understands us more than anyone else. And He gave us the manual. He gave us the structures. He gave us the guidelines, which in Islam we call it Quran and the Sunnah.
Right.
The Quran, or the words of God, and Sunnah are the words and the actions of Prophet Muhammad, which is actually, in few words, the explanation of the Quran in real life.
Right.
So when you understand this concept that you are created by God and God knows more you than you know yourself, And even in the Quran, God has says wa fi anfusikum, and we have a lot of signs even inside you. Until today, we see a lot of things actually we never knew about ourselves.
Right.
You know, just when I was talking to the one of the OBGYNs about the levels of creation in the Quran, she surprised and she said, I studied that in many years. And you guys saying it in few words, I said, okay, let me surprise you more. This Quran came 1400 years ago.
Right.
Okay, more than 1400 years ago. So these scientific facts about us inside, or God has said, even in the universe around you, for example, in one of the surahs or chapters of the Quran, it's called the Nakr, Al-Tariq. And you told me, you told me not to knock on the desk, so I'm not going to do it. Okay, so in that chapter, Al-Tariq, God says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ, by the heavens and the Nakr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ, and you, Muhammad, don't know what is the Nakr. And then he said, النَّجُمُ الثَّاقِبِ, the striking star. More than 20 years ago, Space Center and NASA, they created what is called the Hubble, the huge telescope.
Right.
And it noticed something called the pulsars. The pulsars are as described, and I encourage everyone to go online now and see, it is speaking about a knocking or a striking star. And I encourage everyone to go on YouTube and write pulsars, and you will find the sound of it is like this. Knocking. And this is a description of something being described to the people of the desert of Arab Peninsula, whom they used to believe that the stars just like lights or lamps in the sky. But God tells us, and this is one of hundreds of facts in the Quran. Quran is not a scientific book, for the record. It's just giving us some evidence that these are not a words, not words of Muhammad or a human being.
Right.
It's words of God, who knows what is inside you and what is around you all. An anxiety, if we go back to this word again, an anxiety is often rooted in uncertainty and lack of control. Worrying about what might happen. Faith in God addresses both. It teaches you to do your best, but also to trust that outcomes are in God's hand, the one who created you, the one who knows more about you. And that doesn't eliminate concern, but it reduces the weight of it. You're no longer carrying everything alone when you have faith. That shift can significantly calm the mind. And this is why we say it's important to have faith in these times.
Right. It gets you through.
Yes.
Speaking about the universe, did you find it amazing that, you know, the astronauts just, you see some of those pictures?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because many times, if you read some of the reports from previous missions they've done, it kind of substantiate, just like what you're talking about now, what God has said in the Quran over 1,400 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're seeing things, like God says, there are signs in the heavens and even in ourselves that this message is true, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why we nicely say to everyone and kindly say to everyone, take a look. It's not about what you heard about Islam. It's not about what you heard about anyone
right.
else. When you hear anything about anyone, take a moment to read your own self. Take a moment to read the scripture of those people. Take a moment to hear them out. A lot of people hear about Muslims, for example, whatever being said in Fox News and all of these news.
No.
Okay, but when they come, actually, you know, like just we have a lot of people coming to visit us, especially nowadays. You know, like just for example, this week I have more than 30 people coming to our
masjid, and I'm pretty sure in downtown the same number. Okay, so they come, they ask, and the first thing, you know, like, just you know me, Sheikh.
Yeah.
You know, just I like to make jokes, and it's, and sometimes like so, and it's like, let me show you part of our terrorism rooms. This is all what you heard about us.
Yeah.
And they come and they see the simplicity we live in. They see how much educated people with physician degrees or medical degrees, and a lot of PhDs out there, a lot of managers and business owners. So they understand, oh, those cannot be idiots.
Right.
Those cannot be people who just to follow blindly.
Right.
And let me tell you this, a Muslim who follow faith blindly is not actually a real Muslim.
Right.
He has to reflect, read, and know what he believes in.
Right.
Because it's not let me say it in other words. God in the Quran, he encourages us to think
right
of everything, even we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big challenge.
Right.
You know, can you imagine a faith tells you have doubts?
Right.
A faith that teaches you not to follow blindly. This is exactly Islam.
It challenges you
right. to come up with something against what is being said in the Quran and the Sunnah.
Right. And I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
People are coming out.
Yeah.
And people are asking and people are studying. And I think people are seeing that different demographic of people who are Muslims. And I think they're very surprised to come and see that some of the things that they have heard and gossip and things they've heard has been dispelled.
Yeah.
They said, wow, I didn't expect this.
And from my experience, I see a lot of people coming actually seeking or coming out of mental problems they faced.
Yeah.
Because they didn't find a solution and they found it in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
People went through harsh relationships and they found tranquility and better. Better path in their lives in Islam. They found, you know, they came out of, you know, like just the struggles in life, and they wanted to find some people, and a lot of people, they came because they were searching.
Right.
They were searching for the truth. And I'm not trying here to advertise for Islam and say Islam is the best.
No, I do that all the time.
Okay. I don't. You like this. You know me. You know my style. It's like, no, I want you to think. I want you to compare. But do it and do it right. Do it and do it the way that you paid so much attention to your education. You wanted, you know, just when you have a baby, you make a lot of researches about how to feed them, how to nurture them, how to why they cough at night, why they do this, why do you do that. I believe that your faith deserves from you the same attention and the same work.
Okay, if someone is listening right now who's maybe going through some type of mental disorder or anxiety, have had some type of tragedy in their life, where should they start?
You know, that is connected to the what the inner peace question in Islam.
Yeah.
And I would say in Islam, there is a term called Sakina.
But can we say something, just confirm something, that it's that medicine that is all that's prescribed most of the time for these type of mental issues is not always the answer.
Let me tell you, actually, with my experience dealing with a lot of doctors, they say we don't treat anyone.
That's what they say.
And medical is mostly for the symptoms, but it does not treat
to relieve them.
Even a funny, you know, or sarcastic fact here.
Yeah.
Surgeons in some countries, they don't regard the physicians as doctors or physicians because they believe that they don't deal with the real root cause of the pain.
Okay.
They deal just with the symptoms. So medicine is not a cure. It's just a something, according to researchers, blah, 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 you know, just that deals with it in a way that best.
Right.
But not the best.
No.
Not curing it accurately. And but here we have faith deals with a lot of things, with a lot of problems, especially the mental ones, in a deeper way. And here I'll go back to the word that I just mentioned, sakina, a deep sense of calm placed in the heart, even during difficulty. It is not the absence of problems, it's stability within them. It comes from trust, remembrance of God, and a sense of purpose. Interestingly, modern psychology talks about similar ideas. Grounding, acceptance, and inner regulation. But faith ties them to something deeper and more lasting. And here, Yani, let me tell you that we see it all the time. Success fulfills external goals. It's always to fulfill the external goals, but it doesn't always answer the internal questions. You can achieve everything you planned and still feel like something is missing. And I want everyone, I thought we listen to us now, you know, like just they reflect on their own life.
Right.
That something is often meaning, connection, and purpose, things that faith directly addresses. You know, as a believer, I'm not going to talk as an imam. I'm going to talk as a believer. When life goes harsh in me, the only way to take me out of it and put me in a very stable zone is when I put my head down to God.
Right.
When I prostrate and bow down to God. When I say to God, I did all my best, and the rest is yours.
Mm.
And with my trust in God, I always see how He takes a control over it and put me in the right place. I've been through a lot of problems. I've been through a lot of tragedies. I've been to a lot of losses in people and loved ones, and thanks be to God, what makes me live it, what makes me come to the right place is that I always relate these things to God and say, oh God, I know there is a wisdom behind this. Yes.
And so basically you do as much as you can.
That's
and
it.
You put the rest in His hand.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. You know, actually not putting the rest in His hand, I'm putting it all in His hand.
All in His hand.
You know, because I don't believe that my faith in God is the best way. I believe it is the way.
Right.
Yeah.
The only way.
The only way.
Right.
That always, you know, make me in a better situation. And when you have this concept, you will feel relieved, mentally stable, and happy.
Yeah.
How many of us, of those people listening to us, feel happy?
Right.
You know, when you listen to music to be happy, you are happy for 5 minutes. And once you turn it off, you're not.
Right.
How many of us, you know, like just to go and meet with loved ones, and when they leave them, they feel stressed again.
Right.
How many of us who are listening to us, you know, like just they go to restaurants or pubs to live for the moment and get happy. They are happy, but for very short, temporary time. But God in the Quran, He mentioned something really beautiful at the beginning of chapter Taha. And I want everyone to listen to it, which speaks about a lot of stories of the prophets. I promise you will like it. But I want you to focus on the first five verses where God, He says Taha. ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. Oh, you who believe in God, oh Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, of course, you know, we have not revealed this Quran to you in order to be distressed.
Right.
Rather, to be better. ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن. It is a remembrance for whom they believe in God and are conscious of God.
Mm.
And when I mentioned that, God says, this Quran have been revealed to you not to be distressed. So the opposite is the right.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite is we have revealed this Quran to you in order to be happy, in order to be better, in order to be in the right path.
Okay, so this statement that you hear many people who are going through problems, is an Arabic statement that says, you know, Ibrahim said it, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel.
Yes.
Explain it.
Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is in by our sides. Allah is strengthening us. God is the one who empowers us, strengthening us, encouraging us, paving the road for us, making us in a better situation. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, the best to rely on.
Right.
The best to rely on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I have a financial situation, you know, just and I come to Imam Al-Amin now and say, Imam Al-Amin, yeah, I know that you're rich and you drive this fancy car. You're not, I know, but
yeah.
Maybe someone from the IRS listening to us now. So, when I rely on you, you might help me once. You might help me twice, right?
Right.
But God will always help you.
Right, right.
He will never give up on you. And this is the meaning of Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. When you face problems, when you face tyranny, when you face struggle, when you face aggression, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. We are relying all to Allah. We are relying all to our Lord.
Yeah. Another interpretation, it says, and He is the best disposal of your affairs.
Yes.
Keep your affairs in order.
Yeah.
And you hear that a lot from people. And I know if we had time, you could tell the beautiful story about Ibrahim when he said it, you know.
Yeah.
Very beautiful statement when people are in distress.
We only, I think, have only 8 minutes. So, wow. I don't know. So, yeah.
We got 8 minutes?
I think so, yeah. So, tell me, what do you want to know?
You want to tell a story? You want me to, I can go with a few more questions here about anxiety.
Yeah.
And some of the benefits of that you can mention to try to, on a daily basis, to keep it under a lower level. You mentioned the prayer. The prayer in Islam does what for us?
The word of prayer in Arabic or in Arabic means we call it salah. Okay? And the word of prayer are two things in Islam. The one, you do it on a regular basis, where you raise your hands to God and you ask God whatever, and you talk to God.
Right.
And the other one, where you do it in a very specific rituals and acts, imitating Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where he took it and learned it from Angel Gabriel. And he learned it directly from God. Which means this is the best way God wanted you to pray to.
Right.
And the word prayers in Arabic, salah, means coming from the word sila, connection, which means you are directly connected to God now. You are directly speaking to God now. And that takes away any concept that contradict with it. When you come to an imam, do not, and I encourage everyone coming to the masjid from other faces, because it happens sometimes, imam, I have a confession. We don't accept confessions.
Right.
Go confess to God. Go talk to God. Go tell him. He does not need a connection between you and him to talk to or confess to. Just go and talk to God.
Right.
God protects your privacy. God protects you from anyone who can use your words against you again. And that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God does not want anyone to know about your private life. God does not want anyone to look you down. He wanted you always to look the best way as a believer or as a human being. So when you confess, you only confess to God.
Yeah, it's very important you said that.
Yes. When you confess, you only confess to God. When you talk, you only talk to God. And that's what happens in prayers. Imagine that you relieve yourself 5 times a day. That you talk to God every time a day. That you meet with the one you love. And with the one, most importantly, he loves you. You meet with the one who loves you 5 times a day. You know, for a lot of people, they believe that this is too much for Muslims to pray 5 times a day. And I was like, and I always say, this is too less for Muslims to meet with the one they love 5 times a day.
Right.
And let me remind you something. When you used to love your girlfriend, you used to talk to her like 50 times a day.
Yeah.
But when you truly love God, you will love to go and meet with God. And let me shock you with another fact. Muslims don't pray only 5 times a day.
Right.
They pray 1 time before every 5 times and 1 time after. So we were speaking about 15 times plus.
Right.
Those, they wake up at night and pray part of the night for God.
Mm-hmm.
And those, they wake up in the morning, early in the morning, and they start with another prayer until Fajr or Dawn prayer starts.
Right.
We believe this is the best connection. We believe this is the best time for those they truly believe in God.
Right. So we have maybe like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes.
Is it anything else that you would like to convey to the community for our topic today?
So our prophet told us to, if you love someone, tell him that you love you.
Absolutely.
That you love him. So I say it from deeply from the heart that I love you, Chattanooga. I've moved a lot to a lot of places, but this is one of the best places. I really, really love. And within the message of today, I wanted to say you're not alone and your struggles are not meaningless. Whether you are going through an anxiety, loss, or confusion, there is always a path to healing. And do not ignore the spiritual side of your well-being. It might be the missing piece you have been searching for.
Okay, so alhamdulillah. Well, let's say this session today was part one.
Oh.
And we can follow up with part two at another time whenever you're in the city again and have time, okay?
Always in the service of Chattanooga.
Okay, so I want to let everyone know if you like a copy of this broadcast, you know, you can text me, 706-459-1010, 706-459-1010. I can send you a link or make you a CD. If you need a Quran or anything else from us, it's 100% free. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.